All right, well, welcome everybody. Welcome to the call. And I'm really excited about tonight's topic because it really addresses, I think, one of the most common questions that Nancy and I get as coaches. And it's interesting. I'm going to teach you this concept called emotional leverage. You're going to learn what that is. You're going to learn how to use that in your business. You're first going to learn how to actually use that on yourself. In other words, how do you get some emotional leverage on yourself to get you to take an action or get busier in your own business? And then with that information, you can also pass this on to your team. And emotional leverage is effective when talking to team members about why they're not doing what they say they're going to do, because we know that we all run into that, where they say they want, for example, to be a director or to be in a red jacket, and they continuously say that, but the action doesn't match that or mirror it, and they just continue to spin around and around and around. This can also be used in conversations about seminar, because I know those conversations are starting or have been going on about who's going to attend seminar. So you can use this process a little bit to help motivate your people and get them to think and give a real strong consideration to, and even get some more yeses when it comes to the people that you want with you at seminar. I hope all of you are going. So all that said, we're going to dive into the content. The first thing that I want to say about this is, again, the most common question that Nancy and I get is, how can I get my people to do more? How can I get them to do what they say they're going to do? How can I get them to actually show up and stay consistently in action? It's something that we hear. I'd say we have that question come up almost every day. I mean, again, if I had a nickel for every time I had somebody ask me that question, I would be a multimillionaire without question. Now, the first thing that I want to say, and this isn't great news, is Nancy and I don't really believe that we can motivate anyone. I can't motivate people. I think motivation has to come from within. We can certainly ask them some questions that might cause them to motivate themselves, but ultimately it has to come from them. We can only do so much. And one of the things that happens is, especially those of you that are in leadership or moving into leadership, you've got team members. The biggest problem that happens is, if and when your team isn't performing, you start to attach a negative meaning to that, and you start to think that it has something to do with you. You start to think, I'm not a good leader. You start to think, I need to be doing something else with them, or what is it that I'm not teaching them? And that's actually inaccurate. It's the wrong way to look at it. 9 times out of 10, it has absolutely nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your leadership. It's a person that's tied up in their own stuff, and you know, you can give them all the tools, and oftentimes they just don't use them. I mean, that's just, it's part of the business that all of us are in. We see it with coaching clients. We give them all the tools that we can. Sometimes they use them, sometimes they don't. You can do new consultant orientation. You can do everything right and then have a person just still not show up. But you have to remember that that has nothing to do with you. So that's the first thing. But what I'm going to give you tonight is how decisions are made. In other words, what is driving someone when they're deciding to take an action or not to take an action? And you can use this to help increase the likelihood that your people will take action, and it'll also increase the likelihood that you will take action. Now, what I want to caution you all about, and this is something that Nancy and I have to make sure that we're doing, and that is, here's the statement: you can't want it more for them than they want it for them. I'm going to say that again because I hope all of you will write it down. It's not on your worksheet. You can't want it more for them than they want it for them. Because what happens is, we see this all the time, we fall in love with potential. We fall in love with the fact that we know somebody's sharp and we know they've got the capability if they would just move into action. but you can't want it more for them than they want it for them. As soon as that happens, you start to unload all of your energy on this particular person that might not be showing up. And when you do that, you drain your energy and you have nothing left for those that would be showing up. So that's what you have to be careful of. All right, let's move to number one on the worksheet. All of our decisions are based on moving toward pleasure or away from pain. All of our decisions are based on moving toward pleasure or away from pain. So what I want to teach you how to do is, how do you use this concept to help motivate your people? How do you use this concept to help motivate yourself? And how do you use this concept in your recruiting conversations? How do you use this concept when you're doing an interview? That's what we're going to cover on our next content call. I know we have a question and answer call on Thursday night, but our next content call, we're going to take this concept that we learned tonight, and I'm going to teach you how to use it during an interview. So make sure that you're present for that call as well. So again, all of our decisions are based on moving toward pleasure or away from pain. So what that means is, everything that you're doing from day to day, you're making a choice in the moment to either move towards something that's pleasurable or move away from something that's painful. So let's move to number two. When we have a choice to make in any given moment to move toward pleasure or away from pain, our brain will usually choose to move away from pain. That's really important to understand, extremely important to understand. It's probably the number one concept on this call. It's probably one of the number one concepts we use when we coach somebody one-on-one. If you can understand this and start to use this in your conversations, it's extremely effective. This is how the mind works. The mind does not like being in pain. It doesn't like it, and it'll do anything to get out of it. Let me give you a couple examples of how Nancy has used this concept, even with me in our business. So we have a package, a VIP coaching package, and when we first introduced this package a couple of years ago, Nancy said to me, or there's this restaurant, let me just tell you a little background, there's a restaurant nearby that has great steak. It's fantastic steak. So she said, to, or I said to her, I said, how about this, I'll find a VIP client for us, and then we can go out and we can have great steak at this restaurant. Well, that had one level of motivation for me. But then Nancy threw the real kicker in when Nancy said, oh yeah, but guess what? We can't go to the restaurant at all until you get a VIP client. And that was a lot more motivating to me. Why? Because it put me in pain. It put me in pain. Because here's the thing. Winning the dinner at the restaurant was taking me toward pleasure. I'm like, all right, we'll get a great dinner. But when she said, we can't go there at all until you get one, that put me into a painful position, and within the next 2 days, we had our first VIP client. You can use another example is, if any of you on the phone happen to smoke. Here's another example. If I said to you, when you get your next recruit, I'm going to award you with a carton of cigarettes. So that has one level of motivation. But what if I said to you, you can't have a cigarette at all until you get your next recruit? Which is more motivating? Well, we all know the answer. It's more motivating number two, because number two, where I said you can't have another cigarette, now I've put you into a painful state. You're like, oh no. And now you'll do anything you can to go get that recruit. You can do it with ice cream. You know, some of you probably love ice cream on the line. I love ice cream. And what if I said to you, I'll award you with a carton of ice cream when you get your next recruit? That has one level of motivation. But if I said you can't have any ice cream at all until you find your next recruit, that has a different level of motivation. So what you have to remember is that people are more motivated by moving away from pain rather than moving toward pleasure. And here's what we do typically in our recruiting conversations. We take them toward pleasure. We start to ask questions like, how great is your life going to be when you have an additional $500 a month? Well, that question carries one level of motivation. But if you really want to create a sense of urgency in a person and get them to really take action and come into Mary Kay, it'd be more powerful for you to ask something like, name one thing that you don't have in your life right now because you don't have an additional $500 a month. Because you're taking them a little bit into their discomfort. And we're going to, again, we'll talk more about that. But I want you all to really understand that concept. And one of the reasons that I find people might be reluctant to go this direction is because they're reluctant to take somebody into their discomfort. But you're doing them a tremendous service by taking them into their discomfort because it can get them into action. So that's what you have to remember. So number three, if you want to achieve a goal, you must attach pain to missing the goal. If you want to achieve a goal, you must attach pain to missing it. And this is really true because if you do that, again, remember, the brain does not want to be in pain. So let me give you an example of how I did this at one point in my career, and it was really effective. This is back when I was selling in the payroll business, and we had a goal called Circle of Excellence, which I know Mary Kay has as well, and Circle of Excellence is the elite. It was also the elite in our sales organization, and I had a chance to make it to Circle of Excellence. And there were 30 days left in the year, and I needed $56,000 in sales in 30 days. And my best 30-day period ever, best month ever, up to that point was only $33,000. So you can see my dilemma. Most I'd ever done was $33,000, but I needed $56,000. Well, one of the things that I did in order to attach pain to missing the goal, one of the things that I hate the most is being embarrassed in public. I can't stand public embarrassment. And that comes from my childhood. It comes from my mom's drinking and my mom's drug use and how I was always trying to hide her drinking and hide her drug use. When I got taken home, I wanted people to drop me off down the street because I didn't want them to see where I lived. I was constantly embarrassed publicly by my family and by my mother. And so public embarrassment is a really big trigger for me. It's something that, and it goes all the way back into my childhood. So the way that I use that is when I have to accomplish something or when I want to accomplish something, and this is what we talked about with procrastination, I set up public accountability. So what I did was I told every single person in the office that I was going to hit the goal. I told all the operations staff. I told all the management staff. I told the branch manager. I told my sales manager. I told her or his boss. I told everybody that I was going to hit this goal. And I did that because I knew that during the moments when I didn't want to take action, I was going to have to think about how I would have to approach all of those people and tell them that I didn't make it. Or they would approach me and say, hey, did you make it? And I'd have to say no. And that created such a state of discomfort in me that it drove me. And I ended up selling $63,000 in 30 days. And I hit the goal. Not only did I hit it, but I exceeded it. So one of the things we have to do is attach pain to where we currently are. This is really important. And you can help your people with that as well. Let me give you an example. Say you have a person that's in a red jacket and they're trying to move to directorship. Or say you're in a red jacket and you're trying to move to directorship. You could even be at the brand new consultant level. It doesn't really matter. One of the things that there's several questions you can ask. I remember we had a client that came on and joined our coaching, and she had gone into DIQ seven different times and fallen short. And one of the things that I did with her immediately when she started coaching with us was I got her to attach pain to being in the red jacket. So how did I do that? I asked her some questions, and I'm going to give you those questions here. These are the types of conversations that I was having with her. She ended up hitting director 5 months later. So it worked. It got her going. And then we put accountability in place, and she just stayed on fire and hit directorship within a few months. So anyway, here's some of the questions I asked her to get her to attach some pain to where she currently was in her business. One question was, who else is impacted because you're still in a red jacket? Who else is impacted because you're still in a red jacket? This was a pain-inducing question for her because she thought about her kids. She thought about her husband who was working, 55, 60 hours a week. She thought about all the women out there that she wasn't interacting with. It took her into a little bit of a painful place, and that helped her when it comes to moving forward. I then asked her this question. Fast forward 6 months. You're still in a red jacket. What's that like for you? Fast forward 6 months, you're still in a red jacket. What's that like for you? And I'm pausing because I'm guessing you're writing. Another question you could ask. And these are questions you can ask your people or questions you can ask yourself. What don't you have in your life right now because you're still in a red jacket? What don't you have in your life right now because you're still in a red jacket? These are the types of conversations that you want to get your people into, or these are the conversations you want to have with yourself, so that they actually start to think about these things and they start to think a little bit bigger. Here's another question, somewhat similar to one we just asked, but a little bit different. Picture yourself at seminar. You're still in a red jacket. What's that like for you? Picture yourself at seminar, you're still in a red jacket. What's that like for you? And I'm not here to say there's anything wrong with being in a red jacket, but I'm saying if you want to get out of a red jacket, you want to move forward, these are the types of questions you want to ask yourself, or these are the types of questions you might want to ask your team. Or if you're not in a red jacket, ask yourself, what's it going to be like at seminar? You're not in your red jacket yet. How's that going to feel? What's that going to be like for you? Fast forward, put yourself into that energy. And when you get into that energy, all of a sudden you get a little bit like, oh, you know, you're bringing that pain right into now, that thing you're going to feel at seminar time. And you're getting that into your consciousness right now, and that can motivate you to move forward. Okay, let's answer number four. Attaching emotional pain to missing a goal is called emotional leverage. Attaching emotional pain to missing a goal is called emotional leverage. Okay, some questions that you can ask yourself to establish emotional leverage for yourself. In other words, What can you say to yourself? What inner conversation can you have with you to get you to do more? And again, then you can transmit or give this information over to your people and have these types of conversations with your people. Number five is, what will the cost be if you don't achieve your goal? What will the cost be if you don't achieve your goal? Because here's what happens. People always think about the cost of achieving the goal. In other words, the extra time they might have to spend, the extra calls that they might have to make, the extra parties that they might have to hold, the extra skincare classes that they'll have to hold. So you're thinking most people are thinking of the cost of change. In other words, what do I have to do in order to get there? And they think about the cost of that. What I want you to think about is, what's the cost of not changing? What's the cost to you and your business to stay right where you are? Number six, and this is where it gets a little tough, and you have to put yourself in this space even just for a few minutes. Who else is impacted when I play small? Who else is impacted when I play small? And when I ask this question to myself, I think about my family. I think about Nancy. Nancy's impacted. I think about my nephew Ben, my nephew Mika, my nephew Kai, who, if we're struggling, if business isn't going well, we can't take them places. We can't spend any money on them. I mean, that's hard and that's painful. They're impacted. I think about the people out there that are in business, the people out there that are in direct sales, the people out there that are in Mary Kay that don't have the opportunity to get our information, and they don't get the opportunity to pay our information forward to their people. And I think about the lives that we have helped change. And I think if I stop, there's no more lives to change. It's done. And that keeps me motivated. I can't do that. I can't have that happen. What we have to realize is that what we do is so much bigger than ourselves, and what you do is so much bigger than yourself. Because one phone call that you could make could end up changing thousands of lives. One phone call. I remember the story of we do some work up in the New York State area with National Sales Director Maureen. I think it's Maureen Myers. Her name just escaped me. It's Maureen Myers, and also Betty Gilpatrick, National Sales Director Betty Gilpatrick, is up here as well. And the party that Maureen was at was rescheduled five different times, and not only did she end up hitting national. From, you know, she came into Mary Kay at this party, but two other people at that party also hit national. So three national sales directors, one party. So think about the number of lives that would be different if that consultant or director did not continue to reschedule that party and did not continue to pick up their phone. How many lives would be different today if that didn't happen? What we do is so much bigger than ourselves. And when you're not motivated, when you're not driven, and you can't get yourself to pick up the phone and take the action that you need to take in your business, I would suggest you think about that. Think about who else is impacted by that decision you're making right now not to do what you do, not to pick up your phone, not to move forward. Who else is being impacted? Number seven. What will I continue to miss out on if I don't achieve my goal? What will I continue to miss out on? What's missing in your life? What is it that you want that you don't currently have? Number eight, what will be different in my life if I achieve my goal? What will be different in my life if I achieve my goal? Some of you are shooting for director. Some of you might be shooting for trip. Some of you might be shooting for red jacket. What will change in your life if and when you hit that goal? I used to spend a lot of time thinking about that when I was selling in corporate, and I still think about it today when it comes to our business. One of the things that Nancy and I are gravitating towards is we've always wanted. Right now we have a house that sits up, we're up on this hill, and there's woods in front of us, and just past the woods there's a bay, a really huge bay. And during the winter months we can see the bay perfectly because the trees don't have leaves on them. But now all the leaves are back on the trees and we can't see the bay. And we're really missing it. So we've always wanted a house on the lake. So that's one of the things that's really driving us right now is we want a house on the lake, and we want it because we want to pay it forward. We want to share it. We want to share it with our friends. We want to share it with our family. We want people to enjoy in what it is that we're creating in our business and what it is that we're creating in our lives. Again, making it much bigger than ourselves. So what is it that you don't have in your life right now? What would be different in your life if you were to achieve your goal? Okay, let's turn the page and move over to number 9. And then what we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit of an exercise after we get through down to number 11. So number 9, who else is impacted and what are they likely to receive if I achieve my goal? We've talked a lot about that. Who else is impacted and what are they likely to receive if I achieve my goal? Now here's a problem that we run into when we get to number 10. I'm going to give you the words for that. And the words are most of us base our decisions on the short term. Most of us base our decisions on the short term. Now here's the problem with that. The problem with that is what we have to do is we have to be willing to go through and experience short-term pain to have long-term success. We have to be willing to go through short-term pain to have long-term success. In other words, you have to start doing what's uncomfortable. You have to expand your comfort zone in some way. It might be having more crucial conversations with people on your team and in your unit. It might be picking up your phone more often, making more phone calls in your business. It might be doing lead events more frequently so that you're getting more names of people to call. It might be making sure that you bring up the opportunity and you bring up recruiting in every single facial and every single party that you do, because I know a lot of you don't do that. And I'm not saying that to be hard on you. I'm just saying it because we've run into it, we've heard it, and we get it. But if you want a different result, you have to do some things that you've never done. And that means going through that short-term pain, that short-term discomfort, that breaking through of what it is that you're uncomfortable with, and working at a higher level and starting to be who it is that you're called here to be. But again, the problem is we base our decisions on short term. And then when we think about that pain, in other words, oh man, I got to make more calls, ah, and then we don't make the more calls. But if you want the success, you have to address and be willing to go through the short-term pain to get the long-term success. Okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to do an exercise. I'm going to slow way down here because I want to take really pretty much the remainder of this call with this exercise, and I want to have you all do it, and I want to have you do it while we're on the line, because I know that sometimes if we don't do it while we're on the line, we swear we're going to do it, but we don't get to it. So I want to have you all do it right here with me. And here's what I want you to do. It's simple. Just look at number 11. Write down one action you could be taking that you are putting off. Write down one action you could be taking for your business that you're currently putting off. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go through a series of questions, and I want you to write your answers down, and then I'm going to open up the lines, and I want one person, maybe even two people, to share what this exercise was like and what the action was that they wrote down. So I want some participation from all of you so that we can talk about what it is that you are putting off and why, and get some insight. And hopefully you'll be motivated at the end of this call to actually take that action. So again, write down one action you could be taking that you're putting off. And now you're going to ask yourself these questions. Question one, Why haven't I taken this action? And be very honest with yourself. If it's fear, if you're just feeling lazy, whatever it is, be completely honest with yourself. Why haven't you taken this action? Okay, moving on to question number two. Question number two reads, what pain do I link to this action? What pain do I link to this action? What is it? Is it because you have to get out of your comfort zone? Is there something about the action that you don't like? What's going on there? What pain do you link to this action? All right. Next question. And this one tends to trip people up a little bit. The question is, what's the reward for not taking this action? What's the reward for not taking this action? And there is a reward, because if there wasn't a reward, you'd be taking the action. Usually, the reward is that you get to stay comfortable. You get to stay in your comfort zone. You get to stay in the cocoon that you've built for yourself. But what's the reward? What is it for not taking the action? Next question, what's the cost of not changing right now? What's the cost of not changing right now? What's the cost of not taking this action? Again, we always think, and we tend to think in terms of, you know, I have to get uncomfortable. That's the cost of taking the action. Well, what's the cost of not taking it? Something interesting. I'll share it after the questions that I want to. I'll come back to that. Okay, next question. What's the cost of not changing over the next 5 years? What's the cost of not changing over the next 5 years? What's the cost of staying in inaction? What's the cost of not taking action over the next 5 years? All right, moving on to the next question. What's the cost to my self-esteem? In other words, how is not taking this action impacting your self-esteem? And the final question is, what's the cost to the people I care about? And I talked about that a little bit earlier. What's the cost to the people that you care about? It could be family. It could be, what's the cost to your unit? What's the cost to the people you interact with? What's the cost to the people that you care about? Now, what I want to do is I want to elaborate a little bit more on a couple of these, and then I'm going to ask you all to, somebody to pop on the line and talk about what they wrote. But I want to elaborate on a couple. The question, what's the cost of not changing right now? And this has to do with one of the dynamics of change. People always want to know, you know, how do I change? How do I get my people to change? You know, again, how do I get them to do more? And what you have to realize is, again, when it comes to change, people always think in terms of what they have to give up. So that's what you're moving, that's what you're against, is they're thinking in terms of what they have to give up. And when they get focused on what they have to give up in order to change, they're not focused on all the potential gains that they could see. And that prevents them from taking action. It prevents them from changing. One of the things that we do in one of our workshops, and this is always so interesting to watch, is I stand up on stage, and we could have 60, 75 people in the room, sometimes more. And I have them all stand up. And this is an exercise that you can do if you have a unit. Do this at your unit meeting and watch what happens. Have them all stand up. Have them pick a partner. And have them all stand face-to-face, and you look at your partner for about a minute in silence. Now, the rules for this exercise are they have to do nothing more or nothing less than what you say, and they have to do it when they're instructed. They have to do these things silently. So you just have them look at their partner. You sort of notice your partner in silence for a full minute. Then what you do is you have them turn back to back and you have them change 5 things about their appearance. You can even do 10. 10's even better. When you say change 10 things about your personal appearance. Now here's what happens, and this is what's so fascinating. People start taking stuff off. The necklaces come off, the rings come off, the hair clips come out, the barrettes come out of the hair, the glasses come off, the neck, you know, the all the accessories come off. Everything comes off. And isn't that fascinating? Because what happened is you were asking them to change something about their appearance. And they immediately went to, what do I have to remove? What do I have to give up? They take stuff off. Nobody like grabs their neighbor's necklace and puts that on. Nobody grabs their neighbor's hat and puts that on. Nobody, you don't see, women exchanging jewelry. Everybody just takes everything off. So unconsciously, you automatically go in your mind to what you have to give up. Everybody does it. It's unbelievable. Because then I have them face each other and notice everything that their partner changed about their appearance. And then I have them turn around back to back again and do it again. Change 10 more things. And then everybody freaks out. You start to hear everybody yelling, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be naked. You know, this is where they go through. because it never crosses their mind that they can actually add things to their appearance. Because so everybody's so wrapped up on what they have to give up. Happens 100% of the time. So you want to get your people focused on, you know, what's the potential gain? And if they're stuck on what they have to give up, they're unlikely to move forward. Okay, the question, what's the cost to my self-esteem? One thing that I can tell you, but you won't experience it until you actually do it, is when you are in action in your business, you feel fantastic. Your self-esteem goes through the roof. You could pick up the phone and make 5 calls and have all 5 people tell you no, and you'd still feel good because you took the action. It has such a huge impact on your self-esteem, and you're missing that if you're not in action. And I can tell you that until I'm blue, but I can't stand next to you and make you pick up your phone and take the action, because it will totally impact your self-esteem. It'll shoot your self-esteem through the roof. And if you do this over and over and over and over and over again, you're building that self-esteem, you're building it, and you're building it, and you're building it, and then you're coming from a more powerful and more confident space. And that's when people start to really want what you have. They want your products. They want your opportunity. They're looking at you. You're leaving them with what's called the impression of increase. They're going, oh, my gosh, look at her. Look at what Mary Kay's done for her. And it's because you're in good space, because you're in action, and you're taking control of your business. So at this time, what I want to do is, again, I want somebody to be courageous enough to hit *6 and talk about the action that they wrote down and what the exercise was like for them. Somebody has to hit *6.
This is Lori.
Oh, hi, Lori. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. I'll be brave.
All right. Well, thanks. I was sitting here going, well, what do we do with the last 15 minutes? So what did you write down?
My one thing that I've really been putting off is booking a 10-party week.
Okay.
Because I know it will change my business, and I just have been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off.
Okay, and what was the exercise like for you? Do you want to quickly, sort of? Well, you don't have to do it necessarily quickly, but what were your reasons when you went through
One of the reasons, or some of the reasons that I haven't taken the action, is that I'm afraid to do that many parties to begin with. I've never done that before. I'm afraid I may not have enough product to carry out the whole, you know, 10 parties. And then I'm also, one of my biggest obstacles is asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the reasons that I named that I haven't taken the action yet.
Uh-huh. And when it comes to, like, what pain do you link to the action? What's the pain?
The pain that I link to it is leaving my family, you know, having to be gone more. Asking for help, because I really ask for help, and looking needy.
Oh, looking needy. Yeah, that's a big one. I mean, that's actually a big one for Nancy. She'll tell you the story that one of the reasons why she didn't move forward in her consulting business when she first started it was because she didn't want to call and ask for business because she didn't want to look needy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so let's say you go to these parties, you go and you book them. Let's say you book your 10 parties because it says you're worried about, you know, what if I run out of product?
Mm-hmm.
So what if you run out of product?
I'll have to order it. Go back and deliver it.
Right, so you order it, right?
Yeah.
So it's looking at that thing, it's putting yourself in that space. Let me look, all right, so I ran out of product. Now what? So you order. And then when you look at the remaining questions. What's the reward for not taking this action? What did you find when you thought about that?
My two things were that I don't have to ask people to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't have to fight with my husband about being gone and what to do with the kids and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And is that what I want? And this is, you know, this is, and this might even be something for a one-on-one. How much, when you look at on a scale of 1 to 10, what rating or what level do you think what your husband's going to think actually has that impact?
Probably about a 7.
Yeah. Yeah, so looking at these other things, given that that's a 7, my guess is that's a conservative number. I'm just sensing that. So my guess is that's probably the main reason. I mean, can we agree with that, or do you think that's the main reason?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the thing that you want to truly look at. And again, I don't want to get into that, you know, on the phone with the group. I want to say thank you for being courageous enough to bring that up. But that's something that we could certainly talk about, or you could talk about with Nancy if you're more comfortable sharing that with a woman, by all means. But set up a session so that you can talk about that, because that's something that we can certainly help you with, give you some suggestions as to how to address that.
Okay.
All right. So what's the reward? We talked a little bit about that. What's the cost of not changing right now? Do you feel, Lori, that you're in a place where do you have a team of people at all, or where are you at?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one away from DIQ.
All right. Awesome. So do you see how, have you been able to pick up from this call how you can use this?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And it's this whole, the mistake that we all tend to make, again, is we take people into a, and it feels good to take them into a pleasurable place. It feels good to say, look, how great is your life going to be when you're doing this? How great is it going to be to have this extra money, this extra income, this all these great things? And the thing that we miss when we do that is as nice as that is, it's not as motivating as using questions like this. And a lot of times the reason that people are reluctant to, again, take people into a little bit of an uncomfortable situation is because it triggers their own discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we all have to look at. So what I want you to think about, Lori, when you start to use this and use this technique with your people, is look at it as this is a gift. You're giving them a gift because this type of thing can move your people forward. So I think it's important that we don't look at it as I'm going to take them into their pain, and it's, you know, how nasty of me to take them into their pain. It's actually a gift because this kind of thing can move people forward. And we've seen it with coaching, with the people that we coach. I told the story of a person that was in DIQ 7 times and then came into one-on-one work with us and hit directorship shortly after that. And I was constantly taking her into her pain. I knew that it was the best gift I could give her because I understand how that works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she cracked open several times like a pinata. She just cried and cried, and yeah. But that's what it took, and we got her there. So I want to say thanks, Lori, for being courageous and popping onto the phone. Do you have a main takeaway from this exercise?
I guess mainly that I don't have as much to fear as I thought I did.
Yeah, why do you say that?
Well, because after writing it down, it doesn't seem as big and scary.
Yeah, we make it big in our mind, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, one of the questions that I'll never forget my coach asking me, and, you know, I'll ask you this, and you can either answer it on the line or you can ponder it. And the question is, who are you making right when you play small? Who are you making right when you play small? And for me, the answer to that question was my mother. I was making my mother right. Because my mother always made me feel insignificant because of her addiction. So I had to realize that all I'm doing is all the negativity, all the negative crap that runs around in my mind is actually my mother's voice that was programmed into me when I was, you know, when I was an infant and even growing up into my teenage years, you know, making me feel insignificant. So the voice, that negative voice that spins around in our head typically is not our own. That was put on us by somebody else. And what you have to do is look at whose voice is this? Who am I making right when I'm stopping short or playing small? And then what you have to be willing to do is you have to be willing to break the agreement that you have in your mind about that person. So, using my own story as an example, the agreement that I had in my mind about my mom was that she was correct. And I was insignificant. And all I was doing was validating that belief by playing small. I was making her right. And I had to be willing to say, you know what? I've got to break this agreement. She's not right. And the time is now.
That's a great insight. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for sharing. We've got time to do one more person. We've got about 5 minutes or 4 minutes even. So if one more person wants to come on and wants to share, I'd love to hear. One more person, hit star 6.
Hey, this is Ann again.
Hi, Ann. How you doing?
Great.
Well, awesome. Thanks for being here. And what are your thoughts on the exercise you just went through?
I enjoyed that. It's been a very strong learning experience.
Great. What's your main takeaway?
But to think about the total cost, the negative and the positive cost, not just, you know, like, you know, being a director, you know, the money, the suit, you know, and all that stuff. It's also the other stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, the lack of money, the lack of not being able to wear the suit, having to wear that red jacket again.
Again, yeah. I hear you. Well, you know, and think about this again, like for seminar, when you're trying to rally the troops and get your people to go, you can talk to them. Tell me a little bit about where you are. You know, talk to me about where you are in your business. What's it going to be like if you're still in this same space in 6 months?
Right.
You know, who else is impacted because you're where you are in your business right now? Do you think you can get the information and the motivation you need if you were to go to seminar? Yes. Well, what's
right.
the cost? What's the cost of not having this motivation? How is not having this motivation impacting your life? And get them to talk about that. Because
right.
that kind of conversation brings sense of urgency. And all of a sudden, you're not convincing them to go to seminar. They're convincing themselves.
That's true.
And that's what we want. We want them to convince themselves. You don't want to be twisting their arm and dragging them along. You want them to want to go. And these types of questions will get them to actually think. And instead of thinking in terms of what they have to give up, you know, they're thinking in terms of, wow, what's the cost? Because they're thinking about what's the cost of going, aren't they? I mean, that most of them are.
Right.
They want to
Question, how much has it cost you in the past to go?
Yeah, that's what they want to know. So what you want to think about is how much is it costing you not to go?
Right.
That's the conversation you want to have with them. So what was the action that you wrote down, Ann?
Oh, where was that? Oh, booking calls, going out and getting more leads, which is more booking calls, and, you know, to get more parties and not so many just facials and guests, too, like our meeting nights where, you know, it's sort of easy not to have a party. But, you know, just more booking calls is the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah, remember, 30 faces boils down to 4 calls per day.
Right.
Yeah, and it's consistency. The key is the consistency. It's making those 4 calls and doing it every single day. 4 calls. You can make more, obviously, but that level of activity will get you where you want to go.
And that's what I thought about today. It was like, okay, you can put this off, but what was it that Anita Conley was always recognized for? Being consistent.
Yeah.
She's a national now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's the key. Yeah, you slow and steady, but it's doing the action day in and day out. And it doesn't have to be. We create this huge monster in our mind about how much work it's going to be and how much has to actually be done in order to get there. And when you really break down the numbers, if you've got leads in front of you that are fresh because you did a lead event, you know, you're going to get 1 in 5. 1 in 5 are going to say yes. At least that's what I've heard. That's what I've got people telling me. So it's around 1 in 5.
Oh, okay. Well, that
and
helps.
Then, so you basically have to look at if 1 in 5 book, you know, what's the average at each party? Or, you know, is it 3? Do you usually get 3 at each booking? So if you book 5 parties and there's 3 at each booking, you know you've got 15 faces. And then you have to calculate the fact that only 50% hold.
Right.
And when you break down the math, you know, 1 in 5 book, if your average is 4 at each party, or let's say 3 at each party, you need 10 parties. So that means you have to book 20 if you want 10 to hold.
Right.
You have to book 20, and if you're booking 1 in 5, in order to book 20, you need to make 100 calls. But what you have to realize is that's 100 calls in 30 days. So it ends up being 3.3 calls per day.
Well, they always said it's not magical, it's mathematical.
It is. It's just it's working the numbers. It's absolutely working the numbers. So I'm glad it was powerful for you, Ann. I wanna tell everybody thanks for being here, and I want to remind everybody that Thursday's the Q&A. So we're going to be interacting with all of you. Feel free to email questions in. If you're not going to be able to make the call, just email some questions in, and we'll respond to those questions on the call. And we'll look forward also to the next content call where we're going to take this information, this whole concept of emotional leverage, and teach you how to use it when you're having an interview so that you can increase your closing percentage in your interviews and bring more people onto your team. So thanks again to all of you for being here. We'll look forward to being with you all again in a couple of days. So everybody take care.